Seven. Matthew chapter 7.
Turn me up there, Tommy.
That's the first book in the New Testament for you folks who watch too much TV. Matthew chapter 7. All right, we start down in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty and power to preach. I pray, Lord God, that you would add your blessing to the reading and to the preaching. Realize we're unable to do anything. Only you and only the blessed Holy Spirit can work a work in the heart of people. I pray you'd reach down today and touch our hearts, change our lives, bring honor and glory to thy name. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's a very simple little story, and it's not very complicated, and God did that so Southerners could understand the Bible. And he knew if he wrote it all for Yankees, the Southerners would be left out. And so most of the parables and most of the illustrations that Jesus uses are very simple, very ordinary, very everyday kind of little thing to make sure that even the children can understand what's being said. And so there's nothing complicated here. There's no rocket science involved. Just a little illustration about two men who built houses and the result of what they did. Now, Jesus offers these two men in contrast one to the other. One built on the rock and it stood. One built on the sand, it fell. And so there's a contrast, and we need to look at that little story and see what both men did, why they did it, and what the result was of what they did. And from that, you and I ought to be able to learn a lesson that we can apply to our lives. Something to help us and enable us, encourage us, give us direction, give us insight, that we do what the wise man did and do not do what the fool did. And so we ought to be able to learn us a little lesson this morning from this story. And so by way of introduction, I want to take a few minutes and give you five or six places that we need to look at and observe the difference between these two men, or as in some cases, the things that are the same. And there's a lot that was the same about these two men. Now their end was different, and their construction methods were a little different, but their objective and their manner of going about it was all the same. And so we want to look at all of that and see if we can learn us a lesson. Now, the first thing I want you to notice about that little story is this. Both men knew and both men prepared for the storms to come. It's obvious that both men knew they needed a house. You need a house for protection. A house protects you from the elements, from the heat, the cold, the rain, the snow, the wind, the lightning. And so both men knew, obviously from the story, that storms come and that you need to be protected from those storms. Now, boy, you can spend a great deal of time talking about the storms, because storms come at all times of the year. In the summertime, you have the evening thunderstorm and lightning storm generated by the heat and all that in the atmosphere, but you have thunderstorms in the fall of the year. You have them in the spring of the year. You have snowstorms in the winter. Fall and winter are filled with rainstorms, and hurricane season is about upon us. Storms are going to come. And so both men knew that life has its storms and that they need attention beforehand. You need to prepare for storms and be prepared to get through them and survive them before they come. You don't want to build or try to build in the midst of a storm. You don't want to wait till it's upon you to try and do something about it. A wise man, a person that uses their head, who knows that the storms are going to come, would certainly take the precaution to prepare before they come. Amen. Now, it's hurricane season here on the East Coast, and I think there's one getting ready to hit Cuba or one of them islands down there anyway. And if it starts this way, then they'll start talking to us about preparing for the first major hurricane of the season. And they'll want you to have flashlights and extra batteries, portable radios, bottled water, set back, and this, that, and the other, and take all the reasonable precautions you can to get through the storm with as little damage as is possible. So both men knew the storms would come, and they knew they'd come sometime. They may not have known exactly when the storm was coming, but they knew it was coming, see? And a lot of times we may not know exactly when the storms are going to arrive or how bad they're going to be or how intense it's going to be, but it doesn't take you long in life to figure out storms are coming. Amen? Now, not only that, both men wanted shelter to survive the storm. I don't know, there's something about that old natural instinct about survival. You know, if you know something's going to happen, you know something's coming, there's just something about us that motivates us, drives us, or compels us to make precautions and make arrangements ahead of time to survive that thing and to come through it in one piece. I want to come through every tragedy in life. I want to come through it as in a good condition, as unscathed as it's possible. Amen. I don't want the storm to beat me up. I don't want to come through on the other side and find I've got cuts and bruises and gouges and this kind of stuff. I want to come through that thing and say, boy, it was pretty scary. The wind really blew, man. The water was getting pretty high, but look at here. Not a scratch. Amen. That's the way I want to come through it. So both men wanted shelter to survive, and so because they did that, they both erected a place of refuge. Both these guys built a house. And as far as I can tell, they probably used the same material. They may have used the same contractor. They probably went down to the same lumber yard and bought their 2x4s. You know, they knew where to get their ready mix and this, that, and the other. They knew where to get their nails and all that. They put in the best insulation available in their day. They put in double pane windows. They had R15 and R30 and R6 on their air conditioning ducts. I mean, they built a great house. Both of them knew they needed a place, and both of them erected a place. They spent a lot of money building a house. They spent a lot of time building a house. They knew the storms were going to come. They knew that sometimes the storms would be severe, and they wanted to get through the storm. They wanted to protect themselves. They wanted to protect their families. And so they did all they could in their day to build a strong house, a secure house, a house that would survive the storm and get them through it. Which leads me to the next point. Both men trusted that their house would survive the storm. So how do you know that? Because when the storm came, that's where they went. Amen. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to figure that out. They built that thing in preparation of the storm, and when they saw the storm coming, buddy, they went in the house, fully expecting and completely trusting that the house they built would survive the storm and protect them and deliver them safe and sound after the storm passed by. That's why we build a house, right? You want to build it strong enough so that it will survive. Now, some people are not quite so smart. They build down on the coast. I never have quite understood that. I don't want a house down on the beach. Amen? Of course, honest truth is, I don't even want to visit the beach. But I certainly don't want a house down there, because every time you turn around, every 3, 4, 5 years, you're getting blown away and you got to start all over again. I'm not building a house in Florida. I'm not building a house in Myrtle Beach. And I'm not building a house in New Orleans. Amen? Say, why? That's just bad places to build a house. there's some places I'm not going to build. But both these men did build, and they built with reasonable assurance, at least self-confident, that their house would survive the storm. They trusted in it. And when the storm did come, they put their trust in the house they built. They went into that house to ride out the storm. Now, the day came when the storm came. And it was a doozy. The storm came. The sky grew dark. The winds picked up and became boisterous. The lightning flashed. The thunder crashed. The edge of the storm approached. Boy, and the wind was blowing. And both men stood in their house and looked out through their double pane windows, trusting and confident that this was going to be a bad storm, but that everything would be okay. Everything was going to be all right, because they had built well. They had built strong. Their house didn't have any leaks. They had good windows and good ceilings. And the wind may rattle the house, and it may shake a little bit, but surely it would stand. One did, and one did not. Now, both men were wise in that they built. Both men were wise in that they used good materials. No place in our story is there any comment that the second house was inferior to the first. So then, what was the difference, and why did one stand and why did one fall? Well, the only difference that's noted is the foundation on which the house was built. I'm not much of a builder. I don't like building. I don't like the smell of pine and saw and sawdust. Amen? I don't like the sound of hammers. I don't like the sound of saws. I would never, ever, in a million years, would I ever have a house built. If I had plenty of money, I would never have a house built. I'd find one already done. Just more hassle than it's possibly worth. I don't know what the big deal is about having one built. Why don't you get one somebody's already done and move in tomorrow instead of waiting 6 months? Amen? But if I was buying a house, I'd find me one that I thought was strong and sturdy and built to last and this, that, and the other. And I'd make sure that it was built on a good, solid foundation. I'm around a right good bit of construction. I don't like it, and I don't appreciate it, and I don't do it if I don't have to, but I'm not 100% ignorant of what goes on in the construction world. I know this, that no building is any better or any stronger than the foundation on which it's built. I do some work at a building over here that's almost 1 million square feet. And they first built that thing, it was like 500,000 square feet. And they did real good, and they made a whole lot of money, and so they decided to double the size of their facility. Well, the problem was that they didn't have any land to do that on. And so, I mean, it was a hill. And so they hired people to come in there with bulldozers, and they pulled dirt up there and packed dirt up and packed it down and let it sit there about 6 months and get rained on and compact itself and all that. And then they poured this great big concrete slab on it. Then they erected a building. Then they filled a building full of people and materials and went to work. They doubled the size of their facility. About a year after they built it, they noticed they had a problem, because this new part they just built wasn't level with the original part anymore. And the rain blew in, and all their materials ran downhill, because this dirt they had packed in there, they didn't get it packed in too good. And this concrete and steel, this millions of pounds of material they put on that dirt, was sinking. And now they're spending mega bucks to go back in there and try and level that thing up and fix it. So what was the problem with the building? Well, the building was made out of the same structural steel, had the same insulation and all that that the original part had. The only difference is the kind of ground the foundation was on. Their building is rapidly coming apart. Boy, they put all kind of reinforcing steel, and you just wouldn't believe all the money they spent trying to get this building to stand. Its problem is the foundation is bad. And I'm here to tell you, I don't care what they do, until they get the foundation fixed, that building's going to have trouble. Amen? And so both these men built. The only discernible difference in the two structures is the foundation on which they were built. The foundation, that's where you start. That's the support for everything else that you do. If the foundation is good, the building will stand. And if the foundation is not good, your building won't stand. And when the storms come and the rains come and the floods come, your building will fall. And that's exactly what these two men experienced. They had the same motive in building it. They built it for the same reason. They built it the same way. One just took a shortcut and put in a cheap foundation. He built on the sand. The other fella built on the rock. Now, I want to take that little story and just draw a parallel between it and life, if you don't mind. You see, this is your building, and you've got somebody in it you need to protect. This shell that I display to you, this lovely shell, I might add, this beautiful shell that houses my soul. This is the prettiest house on the block, isn't it? Got a tenant here that I need to protect. Amen? Now, so I need to make sure that this house is on a proper foundation. You say, why is that? Because I know that the storms of life are going to come. I know that sooner or later, the sun won't shine. Sooner or later, it's not going to be a bright, sunny day in my life. Sooner or later, trouble's going to come in my life. Boy, we've experienced that lately. Wife was having some problems a few months ago, and a little indigestion, we thought, this, that, and the other. And so we took her down to the doctor, and we got to the door, and the lightning started to flash. Went in there and did some examination. Boy, by the time the day was over, the storm was raging. They said, we're going to have to put her in the hospital and cut her open and fix her heart. And if we don't do that, she's going to die. Amen? That's a storm in life. Maybe it's an unfaithful mate. Maybe it's a financial problem. Maybe it's a health problem. I don't know what it is. They're all kind of storms. But nobody gets through life without them. Sooner or later, a storm is coming, and that storm will engulf your house. And you're going to have to deal with it. Amen? Now, I guarantee you, if you look around, you'll see people all the time that are in the midst of a storm, and their life just seems to unravel. When the storm is over, they're destroyed. They're beaten by the storm. Life overwhelms them. They can't deal with it. They end up on drugs or dope or alcohol or mental problems, or they end up sarcastic and cynical, or they end up defeated and bowed down with no fight and no life left in them. You say, what happened? A storm came, and the house they built wasn't sufficient to the storm. Amen. Now, it's coming. So what do people build upon? Well, they build on different foundations. Some people build upon a foundation of a good life and a moral life and good deeds. They think that if they live a good life and they're moral, they're ethical, they're principled, they're kind, they're benevolent, they take care of the poor, they're generous, that one of two things will happen. Either they won't face a storm. They think if they do good, then good will come to them. Listen, that Bible said, man is born, a woman is few days and full of trouble. Amen. I don't care who you are, and I don't care how good you are. You can't be generous enough. You can't be kind enough. You can't be moral enough. You can't be ethical enough to avoid all the storms of life. Now, it is true that living a good, clean life will prevent certain storms. See? But it won't prevent all storms. There are certain things, if you live good, there are certain things you'll never have to deal with. Amen. A man and a woman get married and maintain a monogamous relationship. They'll never have to fight the storm of adultery. They'll never have to fight the storm of venereal disease. See? So, yeah, in a sense, there are certain things that a good life can prevent. And thank God for it. But that doesn't mean it keeps everything coming. A good life won't keep you from getting cancer. A good life won't keep you from having heart trouble. A good life won't keep you from having trouble with your children. A good life can't always prevent financial trouble. And nothing can prevent the decay of the body with time. As time passes, as age comes your way, the body's going to have things. It's going to be in need of repair. And ultimately, there comes that devastating storm that takes the life. And everybody's going to face that storm. So these people who build up on good works and a good life and good deeds, if they use that as the foundation upon which they rest, they're going to be sadly disappointed when the day of the storm comes. That's to build upon the sand. You say, well, aren't we supposed to be good? Aren't we supposed to do good? Should we not be honest? Should we not be more? Of course you should. All those things are commendable things. But it's not a sure foundation upon which to rest your house. It's not a sure foundation for the security of your soul. Those are good things, commendable things. Those things are adorn the house and decorate the house and make the house desirable and attractive. But it won't support the house when the storms come. There are people who build upon the foundation of money. They think that if they lay by in store for their old age, when hard times come, they'll get through the storm because they have the resources. They trust in insurance policies and financial statements and bank accounts. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not against any of those things, and I don't think God is. I think you ought to lay by in store for your old age. Amen. If you don't make preparation to take care of yourself when you get old, then we have to do it for you. Amen. And you'll have to take money out of my pocket, money I could have spent on my grandkids to take care of you because you didn't save anything or you didn't buy an insurance policy. You made no preparation. I think that's wise to do those kind of things. But don't rest on that as a foundation to get you through. You don't have enough money to win that last battle. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough security. You don't have enough insurance to get you through some of the storms of life. Now, thank God that people use their head and prepare for their old age. The Bible said, occupy till I come. Okay? Now, I know a lot of the old timers didn't believe in insurance and all this, that, and the other, and they think we're not living by faith. And I think they were just foolish. Amen. I can live by faith and not make any preparation and die tomorrow and leave my wife stranded. Okay? What's wise about that? Amen. Was I not commanded to be a good steward and a wise man? Of course I am. That means that I try to take care of her and look ahead. Now, one of these days, a storm's going to come, and I'm not going to survive it. Storm's going to come in your life, and you're not going to survive it. But how does your house fare? How does your soul do? Will it survive the storm? Now, when death comes, when that final storm rages, when that battle comes to which you're going to ultimately succumb, you cannot win the battle. How will you fare? How will your house be? All depends on where you put your foundation. Now, these two men built on different foundations. One built on the stone, the other built on rock. Man, I don't know about you, but I watched running water. We have a storm. You watch the water run, it'll wash your yard away in just a matter of a few hours. It can wash river banks away. Sand just gets swept away. We lived at Virginia Beach, and every year, all winter long, you watch dump truck after dump truck after dump truck after dump truck after dump truck, all winter long. See, what were they doing? They're putting the sand back on the beach where the water washed it away. Because if they didn't put sand up there in about 2 or 3 years, there wouldn't be any beach at Virginia Beach. Amen? The water is erodes, it destroys, it's powerful. But I tell you what, you take a big old rock and put it out there, and that water hits that thing, and it just goes right around it, and it runs and runs and runs, and that rock just sits there, and the ground beside it and the ground around it may be washed away, but when the storm's over, the stone is still there. Now, in our lives, storms are coming. Some we can do something about and some we cannot. But if you've built on your money and your savings and your life insurance, if you've built on good works and an honest and being an honest and a moral person, if you've done built your foundation, built your house on good works and helping and caring for others, when the real storm comes, your house will fall. The Bible said, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by His mercy hath He saved us. You say, well, I was a good person. There's none good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. See? And so, your good works won't carry the day. Your thoughtfulness and planning ahead won't carry the day. Your good life, your morality won't deliver you in that day. All that trust in those things are trusting in shifting sand. You say, then, preacher, what will stand? The Bible said, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man built upon this foundation, there's only one foundation that stands in the day of death. There's only one foundation that will withstand the storm of God's judgment. So what is that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our foundation. He is our rock. Amen? Now, if you build on that foundation, when the storm comes, you're safe. But I mean, the storm may rage. The storm may howl. It may be frightening. You may be fearful that you're going to perish, but I'm here to declare that if you are on the right foundation, you get through the storm. I was on board the USS Enterprise, and we were over in the South Pacific in Vietnam. This was in the late 60s, I guess, somewhere around in there. And we're out there, and we ran into a typhoon. That's like a hurricane over here. They took all the little destroyers and the tenders and all that stuff, and they sent them things back to port because they weren't big enough to ride out the storm. But you know what they did? They left us out in the ocean. They left that aircraft carrier right out there, right where it was at. And we just closed down all the hatches and secured all the airplanes and put chains on them and tied them down to the deck and turned the bow of the ship into the wind and just rode that thing out. Now, that's not something I recommend. Honest to goodness, that was no fun. That aircraft carrier was about 1,100 and something feet long. And that wind was blowing and the waves was going, and some of them waves was 30, 40 feet high. And the bow of that boat would go up in the air like that, and then it would come crashing down. You never want to be in a storm where the ups and downs are so bad that when it starts down, it leaves your pell mells and your cigarette lighter here as you go down. Amen. That's a terrible thing. I mean, you're reaching up there to get your cigarettes because they hung up there in outer space. Man, we rode that storm out, and I mean, it was rough. They had everything tied down. Everybody was in bed. There wasn't nobody working, but they had to have somebody up on the flight deck to keep guard up there in case something broke loose. I don't know what they're going to do if it did. I have no idea. They call it a watch. They put a guy up there in case one of them airplane breaks loose or something, we can tell somebody down below. But ain't nobody coming up there to fix it till the storm's over, I'll tell you that right now. Amen. So they got us tied to a stanchion up there with a sound-powered telephone in the middle of that storm. Now that's the scariest place. I would much rather have been in my bed feeling the ship go up and down than to be up on the flight deck in the black of night watching the lightning and watch the waves come across the bow. The bow of that aircraft carrier is 90 feet above the ground. From the bow, from the flight deck to the water is 90 feet. And them waves was breaking over the bow of that boat. The superstructure on that ship is 11 stories high. And it would just come by there and just like a solid wall of water and hide it. You couldn't even see it. And we got 100 airplanes tied down up there, and we're watching. And by the way, I didn't call anybody. I couldn't talk. So what? We got through the storm. Boy, it was bad. It was bad. We put out an anchor on that side, an anchor on that side. Those anchors weigh 40 tons apiece. Turned that ship into the wind, hung out the anchors, cranked up the engines, and just put them on low speed and kind of let them idle, and just kept that boat pushed right into the wind and rode that thing out. I'll be honest, I thought it's a few times we was going down. I thought it's a few times that old boat was going to break in half. The Enterprise is a flat-bottom ship. She's not V-bottom like most boats. And it's so long that in the middle of most aircraft carriers, they have an expansion joint. The ship's actually built in two pieces. You got the back part and the front part, and it's hinged right here. And when you get in high seas, the front will go up and the back sits still. When it comes back down, you hear it go, clang! Well, the Enterprise is not built that way. It's a flat-bottom boat, and there's no expansion joint. And so when that thing goes up, the whole ship rides up. And when it comes down, the whole ship comes down. And I mean, son, when it goes up, you go up with it. When it comes down, your stomach stays up here. We got through that thing, though. We was all praying. There wasn't any atheist on the Enterprise that day, me included. We got through the storm. What a blessing. We thought we were going to perish, but we did not. And I'm here to tell you, if you make the Lord Jesus Christ the foundation of your salvation, if you make him the foundation of your eternity, if you build your life on that foundation, I cannot promise you that there won't be storms. I cannot promise you that there won't be times when you're fearful that you're not going to make it. I know the flesh. The flesh is weak. And boy, sometimes when trouble comes in your life, it absolutely looks overwhelming. I know folks that are saved and built on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and things have come in their life, and they're in a state of despair and despondency. They're fearful just like anybody else would be. Anybody in his right mind would be worried. But they survive. They come through. They get through the thing. Say, why? They were built on the right foundation. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, yet he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. See, being built on the right foundation doesn't guarantee no storms. It doesn't guarantee no trouble. It just guarantees survival. It guarantees that you ultimately come through the storm. It guarantees that you make it home to glory. People have the idea that if they get saved and trust Jesus Christ and get built on the solid rock and all that, that there won't be any storms in their life. That's not so. That's an illusion put out by a bunch of charismatics that don't know one side of the Bible from the other. Nothing guarantees you that there won't be any problems in your life. Nothing guarantees you there won't be any storms in your life. Nothing guarantees that you won't suffer some in the process. Nothing guarantees that you might not be fearful and afraid. It just guarantees arrival on the other side in one piece. It guarantees your house doesn't fall. And you know something? That's why we build a house in the first place. Do you ever think about this? We didn't build a house to keep the storms away. We built the house to survive the storms when they come. And then folks get saved and think they're not supposed to have any storms. Of course you're going to have storms. There's a song we used to sing, you know, if God didn't send troubles, you'd never know that God could deliver you from them. If everything always went smooth, your faith would never increase. If everything always went like you wanted to go, you'd never have to trust God for anything. Amen? So God sends the storms. He sends them at various times and in various ways and for different reasons. And he sends different kinds of storms. Jesus Christ, our foundation, can ensure that we survive them. Here's the question. Everybody wants to build. Everybody wants to survive. Everybody wants to be okay in the end. You've never met a single human being that didn't think that his or her position or philosophy or whatever wouldn't do when the time came. They all do. No matter how ludicrous it may appear to you and I, the person that holds that position believes that when the time comes, they'll be okay. Even the atheist. See, what does he think? He thinks that when you die like a dog, so that when you die, he's not going to suffer. There's not going to be any penalty. There's not going to be any punishment. There's no eternity. And so his position is safe for him because life or death ends it all. Of course, he's wrong. But people who are religious, my wife was reading me some articles the other day about people in the newspaper that the pastor of their churches are for all practical purposes, pantheist. They think that everybody's way is right. How in the world can you call yourself a Christian and not believe Jesus Christ is the only way? I just cannot quite get a handle on that. Our way is okay for us, but your way is okay for you. What kind of Christian is that? Anyway, people who build their foundation on good works and morality and all that, they are perfectly confident that when the day comes, they'll be okay. I'll tell you right now, preacher, I've been a good person all my life, and I've tried to do right by my neighbor, and I pay my bills, and besides that, I believe in God just like you do. When the storm comes, they'll perish. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The only people that have a guarantee to survive when the storm comes are those who have trusted Jesus Christ. Amen. to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know what he said to those who received him? And I give unto them eternal life. I love this. And they shall never perish. Now what does that mean? That means there's no storm going to destroy you. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never. Now, you can be one of those folks that want to come along and put stipulations and conditional clauses on that if you'd like. You know, like the charismatics and the Pentecostal holiness and all that. They say, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish until, or unless, or except. That's not what it said. It said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never. Well, what if I get mad and cuss? Would there be something unusual about that? I think cussing's good for you. Right kind. I'm just teasing. Christian cussing. Where was I at? Yeah, they say, until you do this, or if you do that. I recently heard about a fella who's done a terrible, terrible thing, and another fella who has known this same fella for years and been on the same ball team with him and been in the same church with him for 20 years, at least 20 years. You know what this guy said about this fella? He ain't saved. He said, you can't be saved and do that. Well, how do you know that? Well, by their fruits you shall know them. Have you ever seen any apple tree didn't have some bad fruit on it? I never have. I got two apple trees in my front yard, and apples come out there every year, and most of them are pretty good, but I tell you the truth, every now and then you just get one that's rotten from the start. Amen? Amen. The guy said, by their fruits you shall know. He's saved. Well, you thought he was saved for 25 years. Now he's done something you don't approve of, so he can't be saved. Well, I know what that book said. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Amen? Well, then what if you sin? What if you do wrong? That's what the chastening hand of God is all about. Amen. Amen. Anyway, I don't want to get off on that. The question this morning is, what's your foundation? What's your foundation? You know, in every church, there is at least a potential for folks who are there, and they know all the right words, they know all the right things to say. You can ask them all the right questions, and they would answer everyone correctly. And it doesn't mean anything. They've just learned what to say. They know what you expect. But in their heart, it's a whole different thing. You know, I cannot look at you and tell by your dress or by your attitude who is really trusting Christ and Christ alone. I mean, plus or minus nothing. And who believes in Christ but is trusting their good life, their religion, their morality, their conduct. I don't know who that is. I don't know how you tell, but I know people do it all the time. And then when you get right down, you say, how do you know? Usually right at the end. Right at the end, that when you deal with people when they're dying, when you get down there in the midst of the storm, it usually comes out what they're trusting. I've dealt with a lot of folks dying, and it's amazing what you learn about them at the very end. And sometimes those folks you thought were real, genuine, dyed-in-the-wool, certified, card-carrying, paid-up Christians, when it gets right down to it, they'll say things when they're dying or close to their deathbed that just startle you, because it doesn't have anything at all to do with faith in Jesus Christ. It had to do with them. That's the wrong foundation. That's the wrong. Listen, you better make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that you're trusting Him, His blood atonement, what He did on Calvary, and nothing else. You trust anything else, and you perish when the storm comes. You have built on sand, and it will not stand. You better make sure you're on the solid rock. The Bible said over there, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, lest you be reprobate. Every now and then, it won't hurt to take a quick look inside and check out and get your flashlight out and go down and open them the door that goes under the house there and check the foundation. Amen? You better make sure you're built on the right foundation. And that foundation is Jesus Christ and His blood atonement on Calvary's cross. And there's nothing else will get you through that storm and get you home to glory. Everything else is sinking sand. I don't care how pretty it looks. If you'd looked at these two fellas and looked at both their houses, they'd have both been fine looking houses. But one was built on the sand. And one fell and one perished. One was wise and one was foolish. Now, the heart's desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Don't let it con you. Well, I've been going to church all my life, or I've been a Baptist, and I don't care about any of that stuff. I don't care what kind of church you went to. I don't care what kind of denominational affiliation you've had. I don't care what you professed 10,000 times. I don't care what anybody thinks about you. I'm interested in one thing. Are you built on the solid rock? Is Jesus Christ the sole foundation that you depend on for your eternal life? That's all I'm interested in. And I don't know. I can't answer it. You're going to have to look at yourself and examine yourself. It's your soul, it's your house. It'll be your storm, and it'll be your joy or your calamity. It behooves you to make sure. I've been saved 35 years. I'm going to tell you right now, honest before God, if somebody, the devil or whoever, got it in my head that I was lost, I would get saved this afternoon all over again, and it wouldn't bother me to stand up here and say, well, I thought I was saved for 35 years, and I was a pretty good preacher for a lost man, wasn't I? But now I'm saved, boy, I'm really going to be red hot. I ain't going to hell. If there's any way Jesus Christ can get me home to glory, I'm going. Amen? Now, best I understand that Bible, that's the only hope I got. I've been looking at me for 35 years after I got saved, and I'm a wreck. I think I'm as wicked now as I was the day I got saved. I just don't see any improvement sometimes. Certainly not like this should have been. But I've done some terrible things that I got saved. I didn't mean to, but I did them anyhow. It's always saying that. I'm saying this to say this. I've looked at me long enough to know that if I'm counting on me or anything I've done, I ain't got a snowball's chance in hell. The only hope I've got, the only hope, is the foundation on which I rest. And that's Jesus Christ. Let's bow our head. Let me ask you this morning. Are you on the right foundation? I know you're on a foundation. It's just it could be the wrong one. I know your house is real pretty. You got French doors and big old windows and pretty brick. You've decorated it up real nice. Boy, when everybody looks at your house, just thinks, well, what a nice house. What a nice person. What a good, clean life. What a moral, ethical, honest. Yeah? What's the foundation? What are you resting on? What are you trusting in? Will it stand when the storm comes? That's the question. You have to answer that one for yourself. That's between you and God. I just bring it to your attention. I'd hate for you to sit here all pompous and the chest all stuck out and thinking you're okay. You built on the sand, you're going to die and go to hell. I don't want you to do that. God doesn't want you to do that. The Bible said, God not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Are you saved this morning? Are you trusting Christ and Christ alone? Are you washed in the crimson flow? It'll wash all your sins away. The flood from Calvary is stronger than any flood from anywhere else. Father, we thank you this morning that we're saved and sealed and on our way to glory, and that we know that we know that we know we're on that sure foundation, that solid rock. I pray help each of us to examine our heart, to know where we stand with God, that we might survive that final storm. In Jesus' name, amen.